How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is November 6, 2012, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The Raw Report and a bunch of news. Raw, of course, from...
And don't forget to vote.
That's right. Don't forget to vote for today. It's me and Snorky and... It is a presidential election today, everybody. And I'm sure that's how a lot of people are going to be spending their... day watching television, listening to the news.
SmackDown.
That's right. SmackDown live.
You know, on Raw tonight and SmackDown tomorrow, they keep saying how it's live, and it's not live. It's like it's completely not live.
Well, it's live to tape. How about that?
That doesn't count. you can decide to tape happens all the time.
I know.
I mean, it's so completely not live, and they were.
It's more live than usual.
Over and over again. I mean, not so much tonight. You know, I mean, it's implied, but they said it several times. But for tomorrow, I mean, every ad was live. You know, live, and it's absolutely not live.
It's more live than usual.
Yeah, it's closer to live. No, it's not more live than usual because it's live.
Yeah, it is. They usually tape it on Tuesday.
It's closer to live, but live is live is either is just live. Or it's not live. It's either or.
No, not in wrestling.
I mean, this is like the Olympics. You know, they don't say the Olympics are live, you know, when they're taped a couple hours earlier.
Actually, they say live, and then down below it says, tape delayed. You know?
Okay, whatever.
This is pro wrestling. Who cares?
Well, it's just, I mean...
There are a lot of other lies that...
Well, you shouldn't say live if it's not live.
Yeah. I guess so.
I mean, TNA could say live. I mean, they're taped on 3 days earlier when they are taped.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I guess...
In the grand scheme of lies in pro wrestling, this is one I don't care about at all.
Yeah, I just... Well, as far as, like, level of lies, no, there's more...
This is practically telling the truth in pro wrestling.
I wouldn't go that far.
Let's talk about Raw, which was not live.
Yeah.
Nor was it in this country.
No.
Birmingham, England.
Benefit because they had a really hot crowd, except they did manage to prove that even with a really hot crowd, the 3 hours is too long because they managed to kill them off about halfway through the show with some of that stuff, with like the women's matches and things like that.
It opened up with Miz backstage, and he said that CM Punk was a coward, and he told Paul Heyman that he was quitting Team Punk.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what his problem was. Really?
His problem is that they should have picked Wade Barrett to start with.
Hmm. So he quit. And
I think that Miz is going to go babyface.
Oh, great.
I think. No one's told me that. I just watched the show, and he had a confrontation with Paul and called Paul, what do you call Paul? Like a, I don't know what he called him. He always said he was full of crap. And
yeah.
Quit. So I think he's going to be the last member on the babyface team.
It's possible.
Yeah.
That's what we need is a babyface Miz.
Well, he has been a heel for a long time, and the thing is like on this tour, he's been cheered in a lot of cities. So, you know how that goes. Cuz everything on tonight's show was they completely tore up the show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's changed. You know, we have a new main event for Survivor Series. We've changed the elimination match. You know, Miz is either off or going babyface, but he's off for sure. Off the heel team and there's a bunch of other stuff that changed as well. So a whole new pay-per-view card.
Opened up with Antonio Cesaro and Darren Young. Titus O'Neil against Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara, and R-Truth. And they had a long match. Finish of the deal saw Truth pin Cesaro after all the babyfaces hit their finishers on Cesaro. So apparently we're going to get a U.S. title feud here with Cesaro and Truth.
Yeah.
And fans were super into this match.
Yeah, it's a nice match. It's a good match. I mean, the thing is they were really into Rey Mysterio. And, it kind of made him shine at the finish, you know. Not so much. He got the big hot tag, and, then wait a minute. He was in for most of the way, and then he made the big comeback. He reversed the Uranage into a DDT, and then he hot tagged R-Truth, and then they all did their move. But they were really Mysterio was like, you know, kind of carried the team.
Vicky said she was going to come out later. She had extra new security cam footage of AJ and John Cena. And
they were promoting to keep for ratings by saying that you will see AJ in a state of undress later in the show.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
By the way, I was watching SmackDown, and they're playing up this this big affair, the supposed affair between AJ and Cena. These are two characters who are single in storyline and in real life. So how is this an affair?
I don't really have an answer to that.
I was just wondering.
Yeah.
So Vicky came out and said no hanky-panky in WWE. She said that Cena...
Isn't WWE built on hanky-panky?
I thought it was.
I mean, from the top on down, right? I mean, you know, all those stories about the front office and all the wrestling stories.
I've never heard these stories, Dave. What are you talking about?
You know how many, like...
No.
Yeah. There's, I mean, you hear it all the time, all the front office stories.
So Cena comes out of the front office, I guess, and makes fun of himself, five moves of doom, four, he says, if, unless he tackles count. So he brings up that, in fact, I don't know how you got this job when you had that relationship with Edge, and now you've got another relationship here with Dolph Ziggler.
He left out Eric Escobar.
That's right. That's right, he did.
Which, thank God, because everyone...
That no one remembered
that. I wish everybody would forget that one.
Well, everyone did.
Yeah.
So, she said, well, I got some new footage here, so let's play it. And the footage started with... first, it was AJ coming out of a room in a bathrobe and going into another room. No John Cena could be seen. So, Cena's laughing, and he said, this proves nothing! And Vicky says, hold on, I've got another one from a different angle. So it's a completely different camera, filming what appears to be a completely different door. And the door opens, John Cena comes out in a towel, hangs a Do Not Disturb sign, goes back in. No AJ whatsoever in this particular video. And Cena again notes, your evidence sucks. And Vicky says, well, let's get AJ out here and she can talk about it. And she's backstage, and hand around the shoulder is Dolph Ziggler. And she essentially says, I'd like to come out, but if I come out, I'm going to beat you up. And if I beat you up, I'm going to be fired. And I don't want to be fired, so I'm not going to do it. And essentially, this led to Vicky laughing and cackling about all that she had done. And I guess... nothing has really been settled here in this affair.
No, we haven't had our explanation that they're both just helping out a crack whore or anything like that yet.
They gotta hire Claire Lynch.
That would be funny, but it would suck actually if you think about it.
Of course it would.
Yeah,
but why not?
Well, I mean, the thing is,
it sucks already.
The thing is that Claire Lynch angle did draw ratings for TNA, and this probably will draw. Interest, you know, I'll bet you these quarter hours, like the one word Cena and Vicky was out there, I'll bet you it did real well, you know, by whatever standards these quarter hours are going to do, you know, on the, you know, these days.
So Paul recruits Wade Barrett to replace The Miz, so that's a step up.
And he owes Wade Barrett one.
That's right, he owes Wade a favor.
Yeah, I don't know what that's going to be, but
they'll forget. We had Daniel Bryan against Cody Rhodes. Cody pinned Daniel Bryan. Fans were super into Daniel Bryan, just going nuts for him.
They were really not happy that he ended up working for 2 minutes and lost.
2 minutes and lost, yes. Which led to a match with Kane and Damian Sandow, which was a step down. God bless both guys. But they had a match after commercial, and this time Kane won with a chokeslam.
Yeah, now the Cody match... Daniel Bryan was distracted a little bit by Sandow. So, I mean, he went, Sandow and Cody were outside, and he went for a tope and nailed Sandow, and he was, like, looking at Sandow, and Cody hit the disaster kick from behind off the apron and then threw him in the ring and hit his finisher and pinned him. And then this one was just, chokeslam. I thought that Sandow was pretty funny when Cody Rhodes, after winning, gets on the mic and he says how my partner could beat Kane, and he could stand there all proud and everything. And then he goes and sort of says, well, he's going to do it right now. And then Sandow wasn't nearly so happy. And Kane's in the ring just waiting for the match. And it was actually like a squash match. I mean, Kane just beat him up for a couple minutes and chokeslammed him. You know, there really wasn't like us back and forth or anything like that.
We had Brad Maddox segment. He came out and basically announced, I always wanted to be a WWE star. And I wrestled on all these independent shows, tried to get a job, went to a bunch of tryouts. Even at one point paid, I believe he said, $2,000 for a tryout. Can't remember
That's not true, is it?
I sure hope not.
He probably paid $1,000, though.
I'm sure he probably did. Well, maybe he went to two. Anyway,
that's probably what he means.
Could never get a job. And finally, he was signed to a developmental, where he explained that he never got a shot. So he's so desperate to be a WWE star.
He never got a shot because he was too small. He didn't wear a mask.
He was only 6 feet tall, he said.
6 feet tall, 207 pounds, didn't wear a mask, and wasn't a freak of nature.
Yeah. Way to put yourself over.
Yeah.
So
he looks just like Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Decided to become a referee. And
that's not necessarily, I don't know. I hope he doesn't end up like Matt Hardy.
He decided to become a referee. And this was his chance in the Hell in a Cell to make an impact. An impact, he said. Make people remember him. Now he was famous all over the world. Everybody knew him. Even these people here in England knew him. So out came Vince. And Vince announced that I am going to give you a chance to get a $1 million contract. All you have to do is wrestle Ryback next week and beat him. So that was the end of Brad. Then out came Vicky, and they shot the angle for the pay-per-view where Vince essentially said, Vicky, why, speaking of contracts, are you allowing CM Punk to get away with hiding behind all these men at the pay-per-view? Why are you rewarding him? He screwed the Ryback. Shouldn't Ryback get a rematch for the title? And she, of course, wanted Dolph Ziggler in the match, but Vince told her not to mention Ziggler's name again or he'd fire her. And long story short, the main event of Survivor Series is now John Cena against the Ryback against CM Punk in a three-way for the title. And plans change, as they say.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the match that it should have been all along. I mean, the putting Punk in that 10-man made no sense at all. It was going to bomb on pay-per-view. And this one will do better on pay-per-view. What happened was, I guess the story was that Vince got the DirecTV numbers for Hell in a Cell, and they were stronger than anticipated. So now he thinks Ryback can draw money, and now he figures, you know, burying Ryback in a 10-man tag is not making use of the momentum. So I don't know if that means, you know, but now he's on the Ryback kick now because of he's crediting him with Hell in a Cell. So now it's like the whole thing is about rebuilding Ryback. And I guess Cena's in there because it's the only way they can get a finish. Hmm. I figure it's God, how do they do the finish? Ryback lays out Cena with his finisher, and then Punk knocks him out of the ring, and Punk covers Cena. Is that the finish?
If you want to keep the title on Punk,
I don't think they're going to beat Ryback. So I figure Cena's in there to do the job.
Yeah, or Cena pins Punk.
It's possible, but then what? That serves no purpose unless they, you know, decide to, you know, change everything and then have. Would that be then? Cena would lose to Rock, and then they would go to Rock and Punk at Mania, which they could do, but it would change the complete direction of everything. I think that the Rock and Cena thing for Mania is a better idea than the Rock and Punk, just because you're talking about the big mainstream show. So what they got, I think the way they got it is probably the best way. But then again, you know, they got that Ryback thing now that they got to figure out what to do with.
Sheamus beat The Miz clean with the brogue kick. They had a long match. Lost the crowd.
And yeah, 15-minute long. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Big Show was there doing commentary.
Miz got a lot of cheers, too. I mean, not more than Sheamus, but he did get a lot.
What's with the Miz's popularity here in the UK?
I think it's Europe, and he's a TV star, you know, and people kind of like the idea of an American TV star. And in some of the countries, you know, like we went to France and Germany and stuff, you know, he talks their language, so that always kind of gets him over. Even though he insults people in their language, it's kind of like, I think they like the fact that he at least was so professional that he actually went and studied, you know, a foreign language before coming to the country, which, you know, let's face it, I think only him and Mick Foley are the only ones who ever did that. So that's...
Well, he's dating someone who speaks French.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with Germany?
Well, I speak
France. You're right about France. Sure.
Well, maybe she speaks German, too. I don't know.
Well, he everywhere he goes, I think whenever he goes to a foreign country, I mean, he speaks the language.
We had Dolph and Vicky in the back, and she announced the main event. Punk and Ziggler against Ryback and Cena, and both Punk and Dolph were outraged at this match.
Well, Vince forced it.
Mm-hmm.
She announced, she told them, but she was coming out of Vince's office and pretty much said that, you know. The thing also we need to mention is that when Brad Maddox gave his big speech about how Punk and Heyman had nothing to do with it, and he told that story, Vince, like, made a point to say, I don't buy that story at all. And then Jim Ross, who's, like, the babyface announcer, spent the entire show saying he didn't buy the story, which is basically means that us as viewers are supposed to think that, like, in fact, you know, that story was just a story, and that's actually not the real thing. And eventually, we're going to come to a conclusion that you know, Heyman was behind all this.
We had Sheamus and Regal backstage, and Sheamus wanted to thank him for all the help he'd given him during his career, and Regal invited him out for a pint. We had even Oksana against Layla and Caitlin, with Caitlin pinning Eve.
Yeah, so that probably means even Caitlin for Survivor Series.
This feud just won't end.
No, and we really never did get... Well, I guess we sort of got a conclusion. I don't know. But yeah, the match wasn't good either.
We had a deal backstage where Alberto and Ricardo are upset about Ziggler being named team captain. Ricardo told Alberto, don't worry, you're still the team captain. So Rosa walked up, and her and Del Rio exchanged pleasantries.
Yeah, so I guess they're trying to... I got the impression they're going to move her away from Primo and Epico, since Primo and Epico are clearly going nowhere. And maybe they could add her to the Alberto Del Rio entourage,
mm-hmm,
and move her up in the world. I don't know. I don't know that Del Rio, he's got Ricardo. I don't know that. I mean, I guess it's a way to put her in a bigger spotlight, but I don't know that it helps him at all. I mean, I guess it's another person to cause distraction, but that's, you know, you got Ricardo for that too, who's a lot better at that type of stuff. But I guess, yeah, I mean, it's a way to focus on her more than help him.
We've got Kofi Kingston and Alberto Del Rio. The finish saw Randy Orton's music hit, but no Randy Orton. And then Kofi at Del Rio. I don't know what he pinned him with, but he pinned him.
Schoolboyed him. He schoolboyed him because he was distracted by the music. He was looking for Randy Orton to interfere, and then was looking, you know, at the entrance and couldn't find him. Then Randy Orton ended up showing up anyway and RKO'd him.
Mm-hmm. So they announced that tomorrow night on SmackDown, it is Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio. Falls count anywhere.
That food fight thing they did on SmackDown? Boy, oh boy, was that.
Long?
It's not so much long.
It was long.
Yeah, I mean, it was longer than usual. I mean, Ricardo got the coffee, got the chili, but that backdrop on the table when Alberto barely hit that table, that could have been, like, death.
God, that thing was long, though. That's all I can remember about it.
You don't remember the backdrop on the table?
I remember the backdrop, but it was just that.
It's like he just
stuck with me was the length.
He just grazed that table, and I was thinking, like, man, he overshot him, and if he didn't get that table to break his bump a little bit, he was going right down on, you know, on the floor, expecting a table. He could have gotten hurt really bad on that one.
Primo and Epico against Zach and Santino. Santino pinned Epico, the Cobra, and fans were into it to a degree.
Oh, we got to mention Fandango-o.
A Fandango.
Whatever it is. Fandango-o. Yes. So he's coming.
And he is who?
I presume he's Johnny Curtis. I don't know for sure, but that's my presumption.
Didn't Johnny Curtis just get hurt?
No, Johnny Curtis has been at all the shows beating Ted DiBiase on the SmackDown tour. So they're giving him a push, and he's got a new gimmick where he's a dancer. So that's why.
Well, that sounds like Fandango.
What?
Why the extra O? Just so they can trademark it?
So they can trademark it, yeah.
I see. Wow. All right. Brodus Clay and Wade Barrett. Wade beat him quick. Wade was super over. Hit his elbow finish, elbow of death. And fans sure did love him. And we didn't get any Bizarro World references.
Because the two women were like putting their hands over their ears, not wanting to hear the cheers for Wade Barrett.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
Announcement.
Cameron, I swear to God, I'm not amazed she keeps her job, but still, I mean, it's not just the DUI. It's the, you know what I mean? It's the allegation of bribing an officer and not telling them. I mean, they dumped what's her name? You know, Taryn Terrell, and all she did was like she didn't even she did get in a domestic disturbance at a hotel, so I guess that's not the best thing either. But so she did that and didn't tell the office, and but I mean, I don't know that drunk driving. I don't know that's to me that's worse.
Maybe they were concerned. How's this for a stretch? Maybe they were concerned that since Tiffany and Drew had their issue at the Playboy Mansion, then if fans
they didn't have an issue at the mansion, they had an issue at the hotel, but they went
but they were
the
at
mansion.
The mansion. So
they
if
went to the
fans
without telling the company,
yeah, but hold on. So if fans heard the story and Googled WWE Tiffany Playboy, all of a sudden all these nude pictures of her would show up, and
sure,
they figured this was just they can't have this in this PG world.
I guess.
That's
what about,
just my
what
theory.
About like if they Google Cameron drunk driving and all these mugshots show up? That's not so great either.
Well, at least she's got clothes on in them.
Yeah, I guess.
I can't answer your question, Dave. I don't
know. I mean,
why.
I know the answer. I'm just saying that it's just a double standard. But
yeah.
There's a reason, you know. But the reason is that there've been many, many drunk driving incidences, and with the exception of I think Mondo the only one who's gotten fired after a drunk driving incident? Because, I mean, everybody else, Ted DiBiase, Santino Marella, Jesus Christ, half of FCW, you know, and I don't think that, you know, most of them don't get fired, so you really kind of can't. You know, even though the difference in her case is that, she didn't tell the company, but, you know, it's something that if it came up in a complaint of a double standard, they would be looking bad. So there really wasn't much they could do. But it's just funny to see, like, in, you know, when I don't know, it's funny just seeing her and realizing she did that. And you know, I mean, she was off TV for 2 weeks, but that's really all that happened.
Jerry Lawler's back next week. Looks like, I don't know what they'll do. Maybe a three-man crew? Cole Lawler and JR?
I'm looking to find out about that. I don't know for sure. I mean, obviously we've heard that, but I don't know. I mean, the way I heard it was that JR was going to be done when Lawler came back, but they could do, you know, a 1 week transition, which probably would be for the best. The thing is, I mean,
they should have Ross there when Lawler comes back.
Yeah. I mean, they should, but you know what? The announcing really is a lot better now than it's going to be.
Well, they could always leave Ross there.
I don't think that's the idea.
Plans change, Dave. Come on. You see this show?
Yeah, I know.
We had Heath Slater beat Jey Uso. No Drew McIntyre. Apparently some personal issues.
Yeah, his mom's really sick.
Yeah. So there may only be 2MB here and there for a while. And then finally, Punk and Ziggler against Ryback and John Cena. They cut off John Cena forever. He finally got the hot tag to Ryback, who ran wild and then hit his clothesline on Punk, hit the shell shock, 1, 2, 3, got the clean pin, And afterwards, him and Cena had a stare down. And Cena had an interesting look on his face. I don't know what it was supposed to be. He's not happy with this guy wanting more. He's not happy they're wrestling. I don't know what the deal was, but show went off the air before we got an answer. So I presume next week the big question will be, what does John Cena have to say about Ryback getting a shot at the title in a three-way?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Hey, look, they improved the show.
Yes, they did. So that was the Raw show, everybody. And SmackDown is not really live tomorrow, although they're claiming it is. Falls Count Anywhere match is the main event. And tomorrow is also, tomorrow meaning like today, D-Day for Linda.
Not looking good for Linda.
No, it's not.
Yeah, did you hear about the thing today with, she put the, they went to inner city neighborhoods and put up all these, like, posters that said, vote for Barack Obama and Linda McMahon working together. And, you know, calling Linda McMahon an independent as opposed to Republican. So it's like, that's beyond desperate. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So, yeah, there's going to be, you know, but, yeah, that's the deal.
Got a lot of
She spent more than double the amount of any other person running for Senate in this country. And Connecticut's not even a big state. I mean, it's not like it's Texas or California or New York, you know, where, you know, there's tons of voters to reach. I mean, you know, Connecticut's not even, you know, but it's, so, I mean, the last election, she was about $100 per vote. So she looks like she's about in the same going to finish close to what she did the last time. So we're talking about, you know, probably just like $95 per vote again, some number like that, which is just incredible.
You know, they should have hired me as a campaign manager because I would have just said, Vince, send a check for $100 to every single person in the entire state. Don't say or do anything else. Make sure that Linda McMahon is featured prominently in the literature that goes along with your $100 check, and then that's it.
That's not legal.
No.
So you wouldn't last long as a campaign manager to do doing that.
Man. Let me think about this.
That's completely not legal.
You can't bribe the voters?
No.
It's preposterous.
No.
Really, would that stop Vince?
I mean, they should just have donated to,
like, he'd find some way to get around it.
He'd try it and then, like, get told, and then he'd blame it on the Democrats.
That's right. They sent this mailer. They hacked my bank account.
I think it's hilarious that like they're putting up all these, you know, posters saying to vote for Obama while Linda McMahon personally donated $150,000 to Romney's campaign.
Well, you know how it goes.
Yeah, I guess.
Is she running again? What do you think?
I don't know for that office, because I don't think if she can't win over a weak candidate, I don't know that she can win. I mean, it maybe in like 6 years or something like that, people will forget. But I think that this election, I mean, the thing that I've noticed in the last, like, you know, really the last 2 weeks or so of the campaign, you can really sense that in desperation, her true colors came out, and I got the impression that in Connecticut from people there that people have gone from like the last election, you know, she was painted as the wrestling woman, and they did all that wrestling stuff, and it probably didn't help her, and wrestling's got a bad rep and everything. I don't know, you know, which is really weird, because with that 107 million wrestling fans in the country, I mean, they should take her to victory all by themselves.
That's a good point. But we didn't get a breakdown state by state. There might be zero wrestling fans in Connecticut.
Yeah, I just know that when they did the poll, and
they're all in Montana, for example.
They asked, like, how many, you know, people liked wrestling in Connecticut, or how many people had a good opinion of wrestling. It was, like, really small.
See?
It's like 6% or something.
There you go. But now, what about if she would have... Well, let me think about this.
It doesn't work. Go ahead.
I was thinking how they could get the $100 still. Trying to think of some way to circumvent these. I better never run for office, because someone's going to bring this show up and just go, this man has no morals. He spoke of trying
to... Linda.
Yeah, compared to Linda, actually. Man.
Well, I shouldn't say it. Actually, I should. You do got more than Linda. But, I mean, the thing with Linda is that...
I hope so.
Yeah. But, I mean, the thing is like, show off. Like I said, in, like, the last couple of weeks, I mean, like, people really started to dislike her. I think that there's, like, this thing of she kind of did the, you know, they didn't really go after her so much this campaign over the wrestling because it's kind of old news and it's kind of beating a dead horse in a sense. It not really is, but to a degree, I mean, they didn't go after her as hard. So she kind of came off as like this, you know, the likable grandmother, you know, thing, which, and you know, she worked so hard with the women voters. And, you know, she did all those meetings, you know, for months and months with women voters, you know, all over the state, and was very personable. I mean, that's the one thing is like, in the one-on-one situation, she did very well. The problem is that in debates, she didn't do very well. And, you know, she certainly, her belief that, you know, the media was out to get her, which they probably were to a degree, but, you know, they're out to get everyone. But the thing is that by running from the media, it did, I don't think that hurts her so much with the voters. I mean, it certainly does with the media, you know, kind of like, okay, what's she trying to hide? But then when she started doing all the stuff in the last couple of weeks, I think it all kind of added up to where, you know, it's like, I don't know, just, I think, you know, what really hurt was the really negative campaigning and the thing where she would bring up that that Chris Murphy, you know, was late on paying his mortgages and things like that. And then, you know, all of a sudden it comes out that Vince and her were late on paying taxes, like on several different occasions. And it's not exactly the same thing, but it's close enough to where it's like, you know, just, I think that one really was an embarrassment. I don't know, you know, the whole, you know, that whole thing of, you know, in the campaign of trying to run just with the name Linda, you know, like, all that stuff, it's like Linda, Linda, Linda with no McMahon because McMahon is considered like, she recognized that McMahon is like a negative name to have, but it is her name.
It's kind of an important...
Maybe she should run as like Linda Edwards or something.
What's her maiden name?
Linda Edwards.
Oh, that explains
that's why
that.
I said that.
Maybe she had a middle name or something. Marie.
I mean, Jesse Ventura.
Linda Marie.
Jesse Ventura runs as Jesse Ventura. You know, so I mean, you can run under a fake... You can run under a fake name because if Jesse Ventura ran
like Linda
under,
McMahon,
what?
Linda Marie.
No, because that would be like she's Don Marie's mom, and Don Marie is sometimes in trouble.
Well, Linda Edwards would be like she's John Edwards' mom.
Yeah. Okay. So, Linda Ventura.
Linda Ventura. If she runs for president, Dave, I think you and I should run opposition.
God, I hope I could win. So, like, we couldn't outspend her, though.
That's for sure. Nor would I try.
Here's the thing, though. If she runs for president, seriously, she's going to bankrupt Vince because they'll spend $300 million, and that's it. That's all the money they got.
Well, I don't think the chances of her running for president are very very good.
Not after this campaign.
No.
Can you imagine her running for president against Obama and, like, all the negativity she'd bring up? And
well, that can't happen.
Back on her?
That can't happen.
What?
He's not running again after tomorrow.
That's true. Good point. So she's going to run against who?
Maybe she can run for president of the PTA.
Well, that's fine.
Sure.
She'll get valuable experience in
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. A lot of TNA news. Scott Steiner's lawsuit. What's happening with this fella?
This is a really interesting one, only because it's in he said it's a house show in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which was November 3rd of last year. There was a main event. It was Bully Ray and Scott Steiner against Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy. And he is claiming that Jeff Hardy went into the ring under the influence of drugs, which the point on this is that Jeff was on probe. Jeff would have just gotten out of jail like 3 weeks earlier. And he would have been on probation. And the thing is like, if there's anything... Here's the way I look at it. This is either like the worst, lowest cheap shot by Steiner that you could do, okay? By if Jeff Hardy was clean and you're accusing him on probation with his track record and the fact that by almost all accounts, Jeff has been pretty darn clean since he came back, as strange as that is to say. I mean, that's the reality. I've heard it from many different people there, and, you know, including people I trust, and people I don't trust. But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, Jeff has really turned his life around. So to do that, to pull that out on him, if it's not true, is really a low blow. If it is true, that's a real, you know, I mean, it's like...
Well, when people say he's turned his life around, I mean, did they say he came out of jail already turned around, or he came out of jail and he has turned his life around?
He was fine before going to jail.
All right.
Other than the one night, you know, the one incident, which, you know, but I mean, the thing is like, he was supposed to be brought back with the idea that if he screwed up, he was gone, this was his last shot. And he did screw up one day, so it did happen once. But if it happened, like, at a house show, and they just looked the other way, and that's now it's twice, you know, I mean, I know Jeff's their biggest star and all that, but, and I mean, God knows Jeff Hardy has gotten so many chances because he's Jeff Hardy on both sides of the ladder, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's like, WWE's no better. You know, I mean, like, WWE hired him back after he screwed up in TNA. So, and twice. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, no, once. No, WWE only hired him when he screwed up once. TNA hired him back after he screwed up and was arrested. They still hired him. Under indictment for a felony, they hired him. But, and then, I don't know, man, it's not... Whatever it is, it sure doesn't make TNA look good. But Scott's out for blood. You know, I mean, they, you know, I think that they wanted, you know, the thing is they wanted to bully him. You know, I mean, because this whole thing, this whole lawsuit against him, which is what started, they filed the first suit. And they filed that suit because they wanted to bully him because, you know, he was saying bad stuff about Eric and Hogan and to an extent Dixie on Twitter. And they wanted to shut him up, so they sent him a letter, and he wouldn't shut up. So they figured they would sue him and scare him because of the money it would cost in legal fees. And it did. It did shut him up. But he decided to get revenge. And so that's the deal.
Eric Young also may not be
anyway,
long.
He's claiming that Jeff, under the influence, injured him.
That's right.
He left him with nerve damage, left him with bicep injury. You know, so
should know we've never heard about this until just now.
No, he was. I knew he was hurt.
Well, yeah, but I mean, did you hear the story about how he got hurt?
I just heard he got hurt.
Hmm.
You know, because he was hurt for a couple months before they released him.
Eric Young is perhaps gone soon.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing happened the last time his contract was up. So it's like, but they're far apart, and it wouldn't be surprising. And there's a lot to this one. I mean, you know, let's face it. Look at how many times Eric Young's been on television in the last 6 months. Like once, right? Even though he held that
couple times, I think technically they still hold the titles.
You know, they do. You know, I mean, they don't have a 30-day rule apparently, because they won the title and I think they may have defended it like once. And that was back in April, and here we are, November. And
I figured he'd largely been gone doing a show.
Yeah, but he was done filming the show a long time ago. So.
New Japan Eye pay-per-view lineup?
New Japan, yeah, it's Sunday. It's going to be at 1 a.m. Pacific, 4 a.m. Eastern from Osaka. It's a hell of a show. Let me just get that lineup right here. It's opening with Rocky Romero and Al Kozlov defending the junior heavyweight IWGP junior heavyweight tag team title against Alex Shelley and Kushida, which will probably be really good, maybe even great. I kind of think it might even be great this time. It was very good the first time. Then kind of they matched where they kind of put all the veterans in there and just kind of have your decent match. With Manabu Nakanishi, Jushin Liger, Tiger Mask, Captain New Japan, and Negro Casas against Toru Yano, Takashi Iizuka, Tomohiro Ishii, Nobuo Yoshihashi, and Jado. Then Yuji Nagata and Ryosuke Taguchi against Minoru Suzuki and Taichi, which, I mean, you got Nagata in there, and Nagata can work really good with Suzuki, and Taguchi's very good as well, and Taichi's got a lot of charisma for a new guy. So this will probably be a good match. Then rematch for the IWGP Tag Team title, Lance Archer and Davey Boy Smith Jr., which is Harry Smith, against Satoshi Kojima and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. They had a very good match the first time. Presume that they will have another one here. Then Junior Heavyweight Championship just announced today, Low-Ki against Prince Devitt for the title. Now, they had a match earlier this year that was freaking awesome. I mean, one of the best matches of the year. And I think this will probably be just an incredible match. Togi Makabe and Wataru Inoue against Kazuchi Sakuraba and Katsuyori Shibata. A rematch from the last pay-per-view. They had a really good match at the last pay-per-view. A good brawl. And this one will probably be, you know, very, very good as well. And then a triple main event. All three matches with one-hour time limits. Not that any of them are going to go an hour. But anyway, for the Tokyo Dome championship shot, Kazuchika Okada defends against Hirooki Goto, and that will probably be an excellent match. Then for the Intercontinental title, Shinsuke Nakamura against Carl Anderson, which will probably be very good, maybe even great. And then IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Hiroshi Tanahashi against Yujiro Takahashi. Takahashi's very good. Tanahashi's maybe the best worker in the entire business right now. And Tanahashi hasn't not delivered a great match on top all year. Every match has been excellent to better than excellent, and this one will probably be excellent. So I'm very much looking forward to this. I don't know that they can top the last show. I look at the lineup and I think, you know, the Low-Ki Devitt, you know, I mean, like the Low-Ki match on the last show
was awesome.
It was awesome, but I think this will be better. Main event, I don't see any way possible that the main event can equal the main event with the Tanahashi-Suzuki match. I figure that Nakamura and Anderson will probably be equal to Nakamura and Goto. I think that Okada and Goto I saw Okada and Goto, they had a main event when Okada was champion. And it was a pretty great match, so I think that'll be pretty great. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great show. I don't see any way it won't be. You know, I don't see any way it won't be a great show. So that's Sunday morning, late Saturday night, depending on where you're living. Live on pay per view, and details will be on the site, or they're actually on the site right now on how to order it and all that. So so three big shows this weekend. We got. The UFC with Rich Franklin and Kung Lee, we got that one, and then we got TNA Turning Point, which is actually TNA Turning Point's not too bad either, because I mean Jeff Hardy.
Turning Point's this Sunday?
Turning Point's on Sunday, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. The go home show's this Thursday mm-hmm. show, which is going to have AJ Styles and Bobby Roode as the main event. It's the go home show, and it's. So it's Jeff Hardy and Austin Aries in a ladder match. Will probably be very good. AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, and James Storm, which I think might be... I'm not going to say for sure it's going to be great, but I think the odds are going to be that it's pretty damn good. Kurt Angle and D-Von. I mean, Kurt really almost always has good matches on pay-per-view, so it probably will be good. Tag team match with Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez against Daniels and Kazarian. That's probably going to be really good because they work together all the time, and... you know, Danielson and Kazarian are an awesome team. So there's the top stuff. I mean, ODB and Tara, you know, it's women's match, be all right. RVD and Joey Ryan, I don't know, man. They go 10 minutes. I could see that match kind of sucking because even with a minute and a half that they did on Thursday, you could see that they just don't mesh at all. Maybe it'll be okay. They got that, and then I don't even know who else is on the show. They're probably they got to do something with like some of the other aces and eights and Sting and Bully Ray. You got to figure. You know, maybe with, who knows who the third guy, maybe Garrett Bischoff or something. Who knows? Maybe Wes Briscoe could wrestle himself.
That's right. The masked versus the unmasked Wes Briscoe.
Yeah.
What is the update on Eddie Alvarez? We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, it was, he was just, the deal is just that Bellator sent him a legal letter saying that he, in fact, can negotiate with UFC for the reasons we talked about last night. It's that the whole timing issue, it's like, it's best for Bellator, it's best for Eddie Alvarez, and it's best for UFC to get this show on the road. I mean, they could stall, Bellator could stall it out for 90 days, but it doesn't do them any good because if Eddie Alvarez is staying and they stall it out for 90 days and drag their feet, they can't advertise him. And they really want to get that ad campaign, I mean, you know, going for Spike, either with Eddie Alvarez or without Eddie Alvarez. They want to know. And they want to make those plans for early next year, either with the guy or without the guy. So they want this thing settled as soon as possible. Either he's going to stay or he's going to go, and they wanted to make a decision. And they gave him an offer, which I guess they felt was an attractive offer. They would have given it to him, you know, what about a, 2 weeks ago, I think. And he did not accept the offer. And so they said, you know, if you don't accept the offer, we will allow you to get. So they basically wanted to get an offer from UFC. If UFC is going to bid, give him a Hector Lombard offer, they're going to go, okay, you know, that's fine. We're not matching it, and he can go. And they know where they're at, and everyone knows where they're at. And if UFC is looking at it and just go, you know, we got burned by Hector Lombard, we're not going to offer him that much, and it's an offer that Bellator can match, they're going to go. They're going to get the offer now instead of in 3 months, and they'll match the offer and they'll keep him. So, and then they can start advertising that Eddie Alvarez is one of their big stars on Spike. So that's how it's going to go. Do you hear about the reality show deal they're doing?
The Bellator reality show?
Well, there's the Bellator reality show that's going to be on Spike, but the new one that they just announced on Friday, they're going to do a Spike.com reality show that's actually, I think, starting now with Paul Daly, Ben Saunders, Douglas Lima, and War Machine, where they follow.
Oh, that's right.
And you fans at the end can vote for
who gets the first fight on
the first fight on the first Spike show. You know, because it's going to be a welterweight tournament.
I love that War Machine is one of the four fresh out of jail. It's just like
fresh out of jail. I mean, he just
really?
Got out of jail this week, and he wasn't supposed to be out until, God, I think February. I mean,
yeah.
It's like they got it. They sprung him early.
And boy, did they spring him right into this reality show.
They sprung him right into this. Hey, you know that on the clips building up the reality show, they showed him cutting a promo on a freaking jail phone.
Well.
From jail before they sprung him.
He's got a character now, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
New nails.
What? The new nails. He's a freaking idiot. I mean, just, I don't even know why they even, it's like, he ain't even that great of a fighter. I mean, he's, you know, he doesn't stink or anything, but he did beat, didn't he beat Roger Ware? But everybody beats Roger Ware now, so that's, I don't even know if that's necessarily even a big deal. I mean, I'm pretty much assuming that, like, Paul Daly or Ben Saunders would, and Douglas Lima, that all three of those guys would probably handily beat him. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I would think. And, he was in UFC and he's, you know, getting in trouble all that time. It does kind of give you a cult thing. I mean, that show, that Ultimate Fighter show on Friday did their biggest ratings of the season.
Baffling.
Well, they probably showed the clips of the Julian Lane going crazy and, you know, that's what draws ratings for that show. I mean, the guys training and doing boring fights, that doesn't exactly do ratings.
I just find it impossible to believe they nearly doubled their ratings because they showed a guy acting like an idiot.
Well, they did. And they didn't even have a good lead-in. Like,
I know, but it just seems like this is one of those.
Number, they had the fight lead-in. I mean, this was just a regular movie. And the movie, their movie lead-in did exactly the same as their movie lead-in does every single week. It's not even like they had a great movie lead-in. It's the exact same lead-in they always had. They had tougher competition because they had an NBA game that went against them that did pretty decent numbers. So it's not like, I mean, you know, it was a big, you know, it was a big increase. I mean, if they could do, you know, if they could get Chael to get somebody to do this, you know, to go get drunk and go crazy on TV every week next season, they could probably pull 1.5 million viewers every week.
Maybe they should have Chael have a team that consists of hardcore MMA fans, and I'm sure he could work them into a rage every week.
I guess so.
What's the UFC schedule for 2013?
They announced a whole bunch of dates, but they announced, I mean, it's all stuff we already knew, but they confirmed January 26th for Chicago United Center, which will be the first Fox show of the new year, and they also announced...
So Fox is going December and January?
Yeah, December 8th, January 26th, and then there's three more dates they announced. Let me find what they are. I think one is April 20th, because they're doing it a week before the Jones-Sonnen fight, and the Jones-Sonnen fight is now officially at the Prudential Center in Newark. Then I think they've got a July 20th, and I think the other one is December 14th. I don't have that. That's from memory. So it's that type. You know, it's the middle of December, and it's like July. You know, whatever, like third week of July. So if those aren't Saturdays, whatever the Saturday is of those weeks would be the dates of the show. I mean, it's the same thing that they kind of did this year. You know, they're going to do the summer show, which will they don't have to go against the Olympics, so it won't. It should do better. January 26th, the Chicago show, the only match that I know of is Donald Cerrone against Anthony Pettis, which is a good fight, but they sure need a main event, because I don't see that as a Fox main event at all. I mean, I do see it as a very strong number two match. I don't see it as the main event, but that's what they've got announced. You know, the Brazil, January 19th, Brazil on FX with Bisping and Vitor Belfort, which they've already announced. So they're going to go three straight weeks then. They'll do, they're going to do the December 20th. Now, the interesting thing is if they're going to do the 19th, the 26th, and the 2nd, or the 19th and 26th both, what does that leave for Strikeforce? Does that mean Strikeforce is running January 12th? Because if it's January, because Strikeforce was supposed to be, like the 26th on Showtime, and I just can't imagine Showtime running head to head with Fox. Now, World Series of Fighting announced January 26th, so they're going to run the same night as the Fox show, with the idea that they will run at 10:30 Eastern time, and the UFC in theory will be from 8 to 10. But we know the UFC; the odds are very good the UFC is going to go long and probably. But still, so their idea is if we run after UFC, you know what? Maybe they will do okay. I don't know. And they don't even have a TV deal yet. But maybe they will have the TV deal this week with NBC Sports. I mean, I know they're working on it. But the whole thing with the Showtime show, I mean, they can't run the 26th, the head-to-head with Fox. Can't run the 19th head-to-head with an FX, so we're probably looking at the 12th. But running the 12th now, all of a sudden, with Gilbert Melendez and Luke Rockhold, you know, kind of being, you know, touch and go, when you cut 2 weeks off of their training time, it increases the risk of one or both of them not being on that show. So actually, that the Strikeforce thing, I'll try to find out tomorrow about the Strikeforce stuff. Just because it's, you know, they're going to have to figure something out there. And, you know, Ronda Rousey was in Sports Illustrated this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing special, but just the fact that she was in was, I guess that was somewhat significant. And she's on Sports Illustrated TV, which is on NBC Sports tomorrow. It's going to air, I think, three different times during the day. So they're going to do a TV feature on her as well. And the, there's something else. The, the TriStar Gym. Boy, I turned that off after about 20 minutes. I couldn't handle it anymore of watching. Like, that show was freaking, it was brutal.
Whole thing built around GSP and no GSP?
He may have shown up late, but I didn't see him, and I got tired of waiting, and so I don't think he was on. But if he was on, they weren't going to show him doing it. The one thing that was very clear is they weren't going to show him doing any training, because I think they didn't want to give away whatever he's got or not got. And, I mean, like even Rory McDonald, I mean, they showed him doing an interview, and they showed him kind of like rolling around on the ground, but they didn't really show him doing anything either. And Dan Hardy was there, so that was interesting. I guess Dan Hardy's in the camp to train with GSP. And I don't know, you know, they put over Faraz pretty big. And he was good, too. I mean, he comes across like a pretty darn good coach, but they were just gushing on him like, well, it was Kenny Florian who used to train with him, and probably if Kenny's going to come out of retirement, he will train with him again. But they were really putting Faraz over and the TriStar gym over. But I felt from the 20 minutes I saw, or 25 minutes that I saw of the show, I felt it was quite boring.
All right, a couple quick questions before we go. This person wants to know if you have an update on Renee Paquette and what is she doing in WWE?
The only thing I heard is I think she's going there like once a week to do some stuff. I don't know if it's for the new network, you know, like planning stuff for the new network. Don't know what exactly right now. I would guess that you'd probably be a personality for the new network.
And this person wants to know, we'll have an update, I guess, or you can give the update on Jack Swagger. He's back. But this person wants to know why he was off TV. Usually whenever we hear someone say they're going away for a while, they come back in about 2 weeks. Swagger's been gone for 3 months. Is it an attempt to try to repackage him? Is there a personal matter?
It's repackaging. They're going to bring him back with a new look. And, you know, usually when this happens in WWE, when they bring a guy back, to repackage him, it's like, it just reminds me of like Val Venus, where they did that like 4 or 5 times, and every single time they never did anything with him. And I think that they beat Swagger so many times that they kind of see him at that level. And the fans also see him at that level. So it's going to be difficult. I know he's got his backers because he's tall and he's a good athlete. And he's a good wrestler. I mean, as far as like in the ring, he's a good worker. He's got a little bit of personality and all that, but it's tough. He doesn't have the great promo skills, and he doesn't I think he's just got this thing where they beat him down so much that they've kind of established him at a certain level, and it's going to be, you know, like, you know, bringing him back now, it's going to be hard to turn that around. Not impossible. I mean, I've seen it done many times where they've turned guys around, but he hasn't been gone long enough. But yeah, I mean, I had been under the impression he was coming on the show tonight, so and he wasn't, but they flew him to England. He didn't do a dark match or anything, so maybe he'll be on SmackDown tomorrow, maybe he's debuting tomorrow on SmackDown. We'll see.
Maybe he'll be the mystery man on the babyface team.
I suppose it's possible. I think he's a natural heel, though. I don't see him. I mean, he could be a babyface down the line, but I think he needs more of a run as a heel before he becomes a babyface.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Lots of stuff coming up in the next couple of days. Hall of Fame issues coming up. Lance Russell is going to be on the show on Wednesday. We'll have a conference call with GSP and Conrad on Wednesday as well. Lots of shows, lots of newsletters, lots of updates. So check out the front page for more, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.